Joshua chapter 14, beginning with the 6th verse. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. And he said, These 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85 years of age. And yet, I am as strong this day. Do you hear this? I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims, which were giants, of course, were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Here is an 85-year-old man not looking for a chair. He's looking for a challenge. We do grow old, but I'll say this, there's no place that we can quit. As folks get older, they get nearer their heavenly home. If there's ever a need to have folks like that to teach us and show us that God is real at the end of life, just as He is at the beginning and the middle of life, then it's these folks that can say, The Lord has been with me, God has stood with me, and regardless of my age, I know that the Lord is there for me to help me. Here's an 85-year-old man that had not lost his spirit to battle. He had the desire to overcome the giants when he was 40. Here he is 85 and he still has the desire to overcome the giants. You know the problem with most people? They're older in their mind than they really are. They think because they gauge things by society, when they reach certain ages, that they're not good for anything anymore. Strange thing how folks try to hide their age in their middle years, but they're very open about it as they get older. One great thing about being older, you can say what you think and usually get by with it. So you battle some things physically. Some of you don't even want to admit your age. How old are you? Grandchild asked his grandmother, How old are you? She was at that age, she didn't want to tell him. So this was her answer. She replied, Well, let me think a minute. I was born before television, polio shots, frozen foods, Xerox, contact lenses, and Frisbees. There were no credit cards, laser beams, or ballpoint pens. Man had not invented air conditioners, dishwashers, clothes dryers, and the clothes were hung out to dry in the fresh air, and man had not even yet walked on the moon. Your grandfather and I got married first and then lived together. Every family had a father and a mother. Till I was 25, I called every man older than I, sir. And after I turned 25, I still called policemen and every man with a title, sir. We were before computer dating, gay rights, dual careers, daycare centers, and group therapy. Our lives were governed by the Ten Commandments, good judgment and common sense. We were taught to know the difference between right and wrong and to stand up and take responsibility for our actions. Serving your country was a privilege. Living in this country was a bigger privilege. Having a meaningful relationship meant getting along with your cousins. Draft dodgers were people who closed their front doors when the evening breeze started to blow. Time sharing meant time the family spent together in the evenings and on Saturdays and Sundays, not purchasing condominiums. We never heard of FM radios, tape decks, CDs, electric typewriters, yogurt, or guys wearing earrings. I didn't say it, she did. We listened to Jack Benny and the president's speeches on our radios. If you saw anything with Made in Japan on it, it was junk. Pizza Hut, McDonald's, and instant coffee were unheard of. We had a 5 and 10 cent stores, 5 and dime stores, where you could actually buy things for 5 and 10 cents. Ice cream cones, phone calls, rides on a streetcar, and a Coke were all a nickel. And if you didn't want to splurge, you could spend your nickel on enough stamps to mail one letter and two postcards. You could buy a new Chevy coupe for $600, but who could afford one? Too bad, because gas was only 11 cents a gallon. In my day, grass was mowed. Coke was a cold drink. Pot was something your mother cooked in. And rock music was grandmother's lullaby. Aides were helpers in a principal's office. Chip meant a piece of wood. Hardware was found in a hardware store, and software wasn't even a word. And we were the last generation to actually believe that a lady needed a husband to have a baby. No wonder people call us old and confused and say there's a generation gap. I think she hit it. The problem is now we're reaching a generation that while we are pampered with many things that make life easier, I have those same things and you do too. We cannot overlook the fact that a great price was paid for us to enjoy the things that we have today in this country. Folks went through difficult time in the Depression years. My mom and dad both were born in 1930. They're not that old, I suppose, and there's others here that's older. But they knew what it was to go through hard times. I will be the first to admit to you, I don't know what hard times are all about. But I can also say this. I've watched my generation get sick, and I've watched their generation get sick. I've watched my generation fight disease and trouble, and I've watched their generation fight disease and trouble. There is something in the heart of that generation that I have seen doctors come in more than one time and say they'll be gone by morning, and 3 weeks later, their heart's still beating and they're strong. Do you know why? They had to work hard to stay alive. They knew survival depended upon their willingness to fight and their willingness to struggle on, no matter what the adversity against them was. I've heard Dad talk many a time about going to get a drink of water on a winter morning and the dipper be froze in the water bucket. Their old home place, I remember well before they finally, someone purchased the land, tore the house down, one of my grandparents' old home place, when the wind would blow, the linoleum would raise up and go back down. I wonder how they kept from freezing to death. But you know what? They didn't mind it. They were poor, but everybody around them was poor. And they knew that people were good and would help one another and love one another. And they had a will to keep fighting and to keep going. Now we've raised a generation of quitters. It's the end of the world. End of the world when the cable goes out. The biggest thing most of you under the age of 50 have to complain about is limited pizza delivery. We think we've got real problems. Thank God for a generation that hasn't quit, that has a will and a desire to go on. A 94-year-old woman penned a poem. This is her poem. My hair is white, I'm almost blind. The days of my youth are left far behind. My neck so stiff, can't turn my head, can't hear half of what's being said. My legs are wobbly, can't hardly walk. But glory be, I can surely talk. And this is the message I want you to get. I'm still a-kicking, and I ain't dead yet. My joints are stiff, won't move in their sockets, and I hardly have a dime left in my pockets. So maybe you think I'm all done in. To tell you the truth, I look like homemade sin. But I have lots of fun, and my heart with joy is overrun. I've got corns on my feet and ingrown nails. And do they hurt? Here language fails. To tell you my troubles would take too long. And if I cried, you would treat me all so wrong. I go to church and Sunday school too because I love that story that's ever new. And when I reach the end of my road, to my heavenly home I will go. Then when I leave this house of clay, if you listen closely, I'm apt to say, well, folks, I've left you, but don't forget, I've just passed on, but I ain't dead yet. How true. Do you know the benefits our society reaps because of folks that are up in years? I don't take a lot of stock in a lot of surveys, but they did one study that really amazed me. They took the greatest accomplishments in the past 20 years of our life and looked at the age brackets of the people that were responsible for those achievements. Out of the great achievements in just those past few years, 35% of those achievements came from people ages 60 to 70. 23% came from people ages 70 to 80. Over age 80, 8% were contributed. That means 66% of all the great achievements that we have benefited from in the past few years came from people over the age of 60. Sir Walter Scott was $600,000 in debt at the age of 55. But he paid the debt off and made a name that went down in history before he died. Stradivarius' first violin, you know when he built it? Age 60. Michelangelo was appointed as architect of St. Peter's Church at age 66 and held that position till age 89 when he died. J. Hudson Taylor opened Mission Frontiers at the age of 70. Vanderbilt added $100 million to his estate after the age of 70. Benjamin Franklin invented bifocals at the age of 78 and helped to frame the Constitution of the United States at the age of 80. Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote Over the Teacups at the age of 79. Socrates started to study music at the age of 80. Tennyson wrote Crossing the Bar at the age 83. Gladstone became the Premier of England for the fourth time at the age of 83. And Justice Holmes was still writing decisions at the age of 90. We've got people in this church that's 40 years old and 50 years old that say things like, I've paid my dues and I can quit. How can you make a statement like that? You never pay your dues for what God has done, and there is no quitting place. And we should determine, Lord, I don't know how many years that I have here. I don't know how long I'll be here. But what time I have, I want to use it for the glory of God. Floyd mentioned what age has done to him, the pain that he's gone through. I want to say as well, though, there's some things that old age can't take away. Some things that old age can't do to you. as you grow older, and for those of you that are older, there's some things that time can't rob you of. First of all, old age can't wear out old faith. Here was a man when he was 40, he believed God. He went in with 12, and him and one other were the only two out of the 12 that believed God could help them drive the giants out. Here he is now, 45 years later. He's 85 years old, and guess what? He still believes God can help him drive the enemies out and possess the land. Folks, your faith does not get weaker as you get older. Your faith gets stronger. And old age cannot do away with old faith. Our faith becomes more real to us as we near heaven. And when age robs us of our strength at times, our faith gets stronger. And that's why we can say that we're living by faith. And we know by faith we have a beautiful home. And we're getting closer to that home every day we live. He wholly served the Lord. He had sanctified his life to God, consecrated himself to God. And he said, 45 years later, I still believe God. Old age can't wear out old faith. Old age can't weaken an old fighter. He was 85, ready to go to war. Isn't that amazing? He was saying, bring them on. What a stark contrast from a few years later when a whole army faces one giant and a whole army sits down and does nothing. But here's Caleb saying, bring on the giants. Not one, bring all of them on. By God's help and God's grace, God will give me the strength to fight. God's the one that puts that in us. He's not talking about fighting one another. He's talking about fighting enemies. You've got some real enemies you've got to battle. When you get so you can't go like you used to go, those enemies seem to rise up more and more and tell you how frail you are and how weak you are. But you'll find out there is a spirit inside of you that says, march on, march on, till Jesus comes. Something else, old age can't withhold old favor. He said, the Lord has kept me alive. Now, like it or not, you might get older and wonder why you're still here and wonder why that you're not already gone and wonder why death hasn't come. And you may have a desire, feeling as though you'd be better off if you were gone, that you can't contribute anything. But you remember, you're here by the favor of God. God keeps us alive. I deal with a lot of families that have to make decisions concerning life support. Do we turn it off? And I remind families, it is wonderful the knowledge that God's given to doctors and in medical science, the health practitioners. But in the end, every health practitioner will verify what I'm about to say. In the end, God is the one that keeps us alive. We do not go until God calls us. And he said, God has kept me alive. So therefore, if God has kept me alive, God's given me a purpose for being here. When you understand it's the favor of God that brought you this far, it'll be the favor of God that'll take you through every battle you're facing. And then old age can't wreck old friendships. See, he made his mind up that God was his friend. The Lord had been there with him through all of it. And why give up on God now? He's been there with me all of these 45 years. He said, why would God leave me now? Don't you understand I've got a friend? Can I read to you Isaiah 46:4 this morning? And even to your old age, I am he. This is God talking. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoar hairs, which are white hairs, will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear. Even I will carry, and will deliver you. As you get older, the stark reality of life is, there may come a time that you're not able to be in church. And there may come a time when friends and family can't be there around the clock. There may come a time when your spouse will go first and you're left behind. There may even come a time where you'll outlive all of your children. But one thing I can assure you of, God will be there. You'll never outlive God. You'll never be able to outrun God. God says that He is our friend. And a friend that sticks closer than a brother to us. And the great assurance is, while we do not know what we'll face before we leave this world, we can be assured of the fact that God will be our friend and stand together with us through it all. And then at the end, He'll still be our friend. And the few things we've accumulated in life will mean nothing. We'll just leave it all behind. Go to a beautiful city. And in that city, we sung it this morning, we'll never grow old. Never feel a pain of old age. Never have difficulty getting around anymore. In fact, the way some of these older folks in our church are, let me tell you what I appreciate about them. They're consistent. They're always on time, right at the right time. They're always consistent. They praise the Lord consistently. They don't have highs and lows that are so high and so low. They're always right on time with what they say, what they do. And I look at some of them, and you know that's the group that shouts the most in our church. Consistently. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
They're the first one to praise the Lord, first one to say amen. I wonder what it's going to be like when they get a body that they can really do what they want to do. See, the difference is this. A lot of these folks that stood up, and I'm not being cruel, I'm being honest, church is their life anymore. They live to get together with us these three times a week. They love to come and fellowship together with us. But I want them to know something. What they give us is far greater than anything we'll ever be able to give them. You are loved and you are appreciated. And during the times that we fail to show you that, I pray that God overcomes it and reminds you of it. Because I wouldn't want to be a part of a church that doesn't regard the elderly as well as everyone else in the church. I want you to know, as your pastor, I love you and I appreciate you. And I know if there's a group that prays for all of us, it's these folks that stood up earlier. They take time every day to make sure to pray God's blessings on us. We miss the prayers of a lot that's already gone on. But they sure gave us an example. You know what you need to do? If you're younger, you need to just make your mind up to say, you know, I want to grow old in the Lord. As I get older, I want to have a friend that'll be there with me. I want somebody to stand by me. I want something that old age cannot take away. John David's grandfather, of course, preached, and you all knew him well. When he was in the nursing home, I'd stop in from time to time and visit. And John, I knew, he didn't know I was there. He didn't have a clue. When I was 16 years old, his grandpa preached me in their church down at Maybert Road. And I tell you, I made a mess of it. I watch preachers today, they start, and you know, when they start preaching, to hear them talk, you know, they think they're a whole lot better preacher than what they are. I made a mess of it. I had Moses in the fiery furnace, Daniel up the sycamore tree, John's grandpa come by, tears in his eyes. Tears in his eyes. He'd say, I've never seen God on a man like that in my life. What preaching? When can I book you back? Bless his heart. He was an encourager. He got in that nursing home, and I'd go down to visit him. He didn't know me. I don't know if he knew any of you in the end there, John. But when I'd visit, I'd pray with him. He was always kind, courteous. And when I would say amen, he would start preaching. That's the truth. Quoting scripture, quoting poems, and preaching. Laying in the bed. I went down to see him one night, and one day evening, about evening time, I guess, and I had prayer, and he started preaching. I stood there as long as I could, and I had a service that I had to get to, and I started to slip out the side, and I almost felt embarrassed. And one of the people that worked at the nursing home passed by me and said, it's okay if you have to slip out. Said, there's lots of times when you leave, he'll preach until he gets hoarse and can't say a word. He had an old friend. You may get to the place where you don't know your own wife, your own children, but you rest assured, God knows you. And you know Him. And He'll carry you safely through.